Welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about lessons from the cleanliness laws in the book of Leviticus. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. So let's get started. The cleanliness laws given in the book of Leviticus served two purposes. Number one, to keep the people from spreading disease, and number two, to make a distinction between the sons of Israel and the other nations. In this episode, we're going to provide a brief overview of the cleanliness laws. If you're interested in studying these in more detail, they can be found in Leviticus chapters 11 through 15. The laws about clean and unclean animals and other matters do not apply for us under the New Covenant. Yet there are lessons we can learn that do apply to our lives as Christians today. So we're going to consider these lessons in this episode. First, let's consider the matters that were regulated. There are clean and unclean animals that are talked about in chapter 11. The law of God specified certain animals as being clean and unclean. In addition to this, they were also warned about uncleanness as a result of touching an animal carcass. These commands were given in order to maintain holiness. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." Also, the cleanliness laws related to childbirth. Though childbirth is a natural part of life that God created, a woman would be considered unclean after giving birth. 7 days for a boy and 2 weeks for a girl, chapter 12, verses 2 and 5. Boys would be circumcised on the eighth day, and the mother was not to touch anything consecrated or enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification were complete, 33 days for a boy and 66 days for a girl. After this, she would bring the priest a burnt offering and a sin offering to be made on her behalf. All of this is talked about in chapter 12. Then the law talked about leprosy. The law gave 7 tests to determine whether or not one had leprosy. You can read about these 7 tests in chapter 13. In every case, the one with a potential case of leprosy was to be brought to the priest, and the priest would determine whether he was clean or unclean. If the priest determined that this person had leprosy, there were instructions given to the leper. Chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 says, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothing shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." In addition to determining whether a spot on a person was leprous, the priest was also determined the same in a spot in a garment. If one became cured of his leprosy, the priest would go out to him outside the camp to determine if he was clean, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. If he was clean, the priest would take 2 live birds. One would be killed and the other would be released. Then the one who was formerly leprous would shave his head, wash his clothes, bathe, and enter the camp, though he could not enter his tent for 7 days. On the 8th day, he would bring sacrifices to the priest so that the priest could make atonement for him. If a leprous mark was discovered in a house, the priest would inspect the mark and put the house under quarantine for 7 days. Anyone who would enter the house or lie in the house during the quarantine would be unclean. If the mark spread during the 7 days, the affected stones would be removed and the house replastered. If the mark returned after that, the house would be torn down. If the mark did not spread during the quarantine, the priest would pronounce the house clean and would offer 2 birds to make atonement for the house. All of these instructions about leprosy and the test for leprosy and the determination the priest would make are contained in chapters 13 and 14. Then in chapter 15, there's another type of uncleanness that is talked about, of bodily discharges. There are 4 types of these that were discussed. 1, diseased discharge from a man. 2, a natural discharge from a man. 3, a natural discharge from a woman. And 4, a diseased discharge from a woman. All of these would render a person unclean. 2 of these, the diseased discharge from a man and the diseased discharge from a woman, would require a sacrifice of two turtle doves or young pigeons on the eighth day to make atonement. The stated purpose of these laws was, in chapter 15:31, to keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness. Now, let's consider the purpose of these regulations. Number one would be health. Some of the regulations were given to help keep diseases from spreading among the people. This was particularly true in the treatment of a leper in chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, and the quarantine of a leprous house, chapter 14, verses 34 through 48. The other purpose for these regulations was holiness. The primary reason for these regulations had to do with the overall theme of the book of Leviticus, holiness, being set apart for God. Following God's laws about animals, childbirth, leprosy, and all these things would set the nation of Israel apart from the nations around them. Now, how does all of this apply to us? God expects his people to be clean, but he wants us to be clean by his definition, not by the world's definition. As the old law dealt with matters of physical cleanliness, we must be clean spiritually. We must have our sins washed away and we must be pure. We become a child of God and wash away our sins in baptism. Paul was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." After obeying the gospel, we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, James 1:27 says. And if we, as Christians, sin, we can approach God penitently in prayer and obtain forgiveness. Simon was told in Acts 8:22, "Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." John wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The world may suggest other ways to be cleansed of sin and promote a different standard of right and wrong. But as God's holy people, as we are described as in 1 Peter 2:9, we must follow his word in order to become and remain clean. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the subject of atonement. Until then, I hope you have a great week.